This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. Smut Puddlers, mild addiction, fuck yes. Hi, my name is Luis Romero. I am the Fuck Fentanyl guy. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. Today I got my really fun and cool friend, Sydney.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Sydney's actually recently became one of my models, and she got some, we're going to do a little shoot after this. And I really like Sydney. She was actually... kind of like couch surfing right here when we were doing one of my episodes with Talitha, and you know, I got to talk to her, and I know she has a really interesting story, and I know she's really passionate about my brand. Sydney, you want to just start us off, like how was your life growing up and all that?
So I will start off with I was addicted to fentanyl, heroin, meth, and Xanax.
Ooh, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. It's great. My new sobriety date is January 2nd of 2024.
Oh, fuck yeah. Here.
You have the clapping. That's so awesome. I'll be, no fronts, but I'll be coming up on 90 days clean and sober on the 2nd of April.
Oh, fuck yes.
I'm here to tell my story and, you know, hopefully whoever's listening can find some type of like strength and hope in this. You know?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay. So I guess like we'll start off like childhood.
Yeah. Start us off.
Yeah. So I'm only going to be able to tell you like bits and pieces of my childhood just because.
No, it's okay.
I don't really remember much of it all, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I was raised by my sweet grandparents. Okay. They raised my brother and I since we were like little gremlins, so probably like around like 4 to 6 years old. Gremlins. Yeah. My grandfather started a pool service business, so when he was a teenager and had some money. So.
And it flourished, and he's still running it.
Yeah, he's still running it to this day.
Oh fuck yeah.
He's retired, but like my whole family pretty much works for him.
Gotcha. Family business. That's nice.
Yeah. But it's, his story is cool. I won't get into it, but he grew up like dirt poor and had a pretty abusive childhood and stuff, and then started that business, and now he's just like,
oh, I love those.
Yeah. Self-made.
Self-made. Fuck
yeah.
Yes.
So he started the business. So like, we had some money growing up. You know, I grew up in like what you would consider like a middle class family.
Okay.
My grandpa and my grandma were Jehovah's Witnesses, so they were very religious, and I remember going to church with them all the time.
Yeah, very strict.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you can't celebrate holidays?
Yeah.
No Christmas?
No Christmas, no Easter.
Oh, like, happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
He is risen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. Oh, that must suck.
No birthdays.
No birthdays too?
No birthdays. I didn't have any birthdays growing up. I celebrated my first birthday when I turned 18.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Dude.
Yep.
Oh my God, that must be so sad.
Yeah. It sucked, like, you know, like watching your friends, you know, like celebrate Christmas and like their families together and pictures and stuff, you know, but just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your family's like, nope, nope.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
They're like, you're sinning if you're celebrating
holiday. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, well, they get fucking mad about my clapping thing with celebrating clean time?
Most likely, but like nobody, you know, no one's going to listen to it.
Oh, good.
On my family.
Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. Okay, so.
Do all the clapping you want.
Yes. So, wow, okay, so you grew up in Jehovah Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, yeah, rough.
Yeah, oof, yeah. Yeah, it was like, you know, it was a little forced, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, yeah, obviously, like, I was a kid, so, like, obviously, they, like, forced me to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, when, and I'll get into it in my story, but, like, when I got older, I like started to kind of like be like, no, fuck you, I'm not going to church. You know? And like in by church, they call it like Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, is crazy. Like,
oh, fuck.
The term.
That is really crazy, yeah. Man. It's like, oh, I'm going to celebrate my fucking birthday. Yeah, yeah, fuck right? You guys.
Motherfuckers.
So you're rebelling against religion. Kind of not a fan of the God thing?
No, not really, you know. And I feel like that tied into, like, you know, when I got sober, it was pretty hard for me to, you know, find my higher power,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because I was forced onto religion and, like, that gnarly of a religion at a very young age. So I feel like when I got older, I just kind of, like, was like, no, fuck that. I'm not going to be, like, a part of any religion. You know, so
yeah, for sure.
You know, I was obviously forced to go to church with them, but mm-hmm. when I got like into middle school, I just kind of completely stopped going, and I would like hide in my room if my grandpa asked me to go.
I'd be
like, you can't make me go.
Right.
yeah, but both of them were super loving, and they were both like great, you know, great parents.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. I loved my grandpa, but I do think, you know, I still love my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think I had more of a connection with my grandma.
Okay.
Like, I was a mommy's girl 100%, and my grandma filled that role, like, quite perfectly.
Yeah.
So, and I love spending time with her. So I was by her side 24/7. She was pretty much my everything.
Oh, nice.
And she was really cool. She was a masseuse, and she was, like, super into, like homeopathics and medicine and herbs and like just like healing natural,
yeah,
you know, natural healing. So, mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Grandmas are awesome.
Grandmas are awesome. Grandmas make the best cookies. That's for sure.
Yes, they do.
And everything else that involves food.
Right.
So they raised my brother and I because our mom and both of our dads were incarcerated. My brother and I have different dads.
Okay.
So they were both, like, gone, you know?
Yeah.
My mom was in and out of prison up until I was about 14, and my dad was gone, like, a couple months before I was born.
Okay.
So
your dad was out of the picture.
He was he got locked up, like, probably, like, a couple months before I was born. So I never met him.
Okay.
You know, I didn't even know what he looked like until I was like 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. But so he was serving 18 years for attempted murder.
Oh, wow. So big stint.
Yeah. Got out and he did good. He stayed out for like, I want to say like 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And is currently doing 56 to life for second degree murder.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
He got out of one stint and just went back for the other big one.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah, he was never in my life. I mean, I got to meet him when I was 18, and he took me to like lunch one time, and I think we got burgers, and it was fun. But that was the only time I ever hung out with him.
Mm.
You know, like he would call and text me and like check up on me.
Yeah.
I think part of it also was that I didn't really, you know, I didn't put too much effort into knowing him.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, he left me for 18 years, wasn't around. Why should I, like, give him the time?
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, that's how my head works.
That's usually how it kind of goes.
Yeah.
They're not going to be present in your life. They're in there.
So, and, you know, he was affiliated with the brand, too. So, I don't think, I was interested in his lifestyle at the time, and I also think, you know, I was scared he could potentially, like, pull me into something I didn't want to be in.
Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. I was looking for a father in this dude, not a homie. You know what I mean? And I didn't receive that, so I think I kind of pulled away.
No, that absolutely.
So, yeah. So I'm going to skip over to, like, preteens / teen years because of me not remembering much.
It's all good.
Yeah, but so I think I was about 13 years old, if I remember correctly. My grandma was diagnosed with bone, liver, and blood cancer.
Oh, God.
And although at the time I didn't know she had cancer or really what cancer was, I just knew she was very sick.
Yeah.
Because she went from, like, this healthy, glowing, like, gorgeous 60-year-old woman to weighing 60 pounds all sucked up with yellow skin.
Oh, wow. You know? Over a short period of time. Like,
yeah, over, like, months.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
I know. It's really sad being a little kid and having to sit back and watch, like, someone like my grandma.
Yeah.
You know, someone you love very much, who was, like, a mother figure to me, just completely wither away from cancer.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't remember the duration of her sickness. I just remember she was really sick one day.
Yeah.
Started looking different and, like, wasn't herself anymore, and then she was gone.
You know? Yeah.
She passed away, and, you know, like, my whole fucking world flipped upside down.
Yeah.
I think that's at, like, when I started to just, like, shut down, and also, like, when I started to become, like, a rebellious kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was in middle school at this time, and pretty much, like, stopped talking to my friends. I stopped hanging out with them.
Oh, you started isolating?
Yeah, like hardcore. And I would just come home after school and, like, go hang out with my grandpa and, like, watch TV with him or something and, like, completely shut out the world.
Yeah.
During that time, I also started cutting. And I think it was definitely, like, a form of, like, you know, when you're, like, I have, like, so many stuffed emotions, and, like, my grandpa was kind of like a turtle. Like, he had, like, a hard shell, and, like, he's an amazing man, and, you know, like, once you get to know him and talk to him, like, he's very kind-hearted and soft and, like, you know, but he does not show emotion whatsoever. Okay. Like, crying.
Strong and silent type.
Probably twice. Like, twice in my whole life I've ever seen him cry, and that was over my grandma's death.
Yeah.
You know?
He just probably felt like he had to be strong.
Yeah. And, you know, but, so, yeah, I started cutting, and I think it was, like, you know, more of an attention thing than, like, a
cry for help.
Of, like, anger. Yeah. You know, I didn't get super into it, but I did slash up my arm pretty good.
Oof.
But that was a one-time thing. I changed, like, my whole friend group and started hanging out with, like, the kids who partied and skipped school.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And eventually I started drinking and smoking weed.
I see.
I used to love drinking. I drink at, like, parties and after school and on the weekends.
Yeah.
It became, like, my go-to thing when I was with my friends, but I never, like, had a problem with alcohol or got addicted to it.
Okay, yeah.
Alcohol definitely helped me, like, socialize more, and it helps me have, like, more confidence around people.
Yeah.
But I feel like it didn't give me that, like, high or that, like, body head change that
it's the same with me, too.
Yeah, right. That, like, we love from drugs.
Yeah,
you know?
we got validation from people.
Right.
We fit in.
Yeah, we fit in. Yeah, exactly.
I feel that.
Around this time also, my mom got out of prison.
Okay.
And we began to kind of form a relationship. Before I came on here, I didn't really know what I was going to say about my mom.
Sure. No, that's fine.
So I'm not going to say, like, too much about her, but it's okay. I did get permission to say this. So.
Okay.
But yeah, she got out, and I feel like to make up for lost time, she kind of treated me more like a friend than a daughter.
Okay.
You know, so she bought me alcohol all the time, made me and my brother weed brownies. Like, you know what I mean?
She,
like,
wanted to be the cool mom.
Yeah, that type
cool
of mom.
Cool mom.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys.
And she was cool, and she still is, and I love her to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then like this time, around this time, this is where like my love for like rock and punk music came in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep. And like I walked around school with like my baggy Levi's and like a wife beater, my like
fuck yeah.
My old beat up Converse and my cassette tape, and I would just like jam out, ignore the world.
Oh yeah. Fuck yes, dude.
Punk's the best. I absolutely loved it, still do.
What was the band that got you hooked on punk?
Smut Peddlers.
Was it really? Fuck yeah.
Smut Peddlers, The Distillers.
Oh, the great.
The Misfits.
Oh fuck yes.
Yeah, it's all.
Oh man, are you gonna go to that? You're gonna go to that No Values?
Thing going? Yeah. Oh, when is that?
I think it's June like 25th, I believe. It's in June for sure.
Yeah, I'm done.
I already got my tickets. It's fucking.
Yeah, I'm seeing Social Distortion, I think, in.
Oh fuck yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too.
See you there.
See you there. But that's awesome. Yeah, fuck yeah. Punk. Yeah. So you're kind of changing your look a little bit and.
Yeah, yeah.
And did that influence a little bit more fast living lifestyle?
Yeah.
Yep. Usually not.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, I think at this time too, like I, you know, started to like experiment more, you know, summer going into freshman, like I was already drinking and smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
Summer going into freshman year, I got introduced to like cocaine, ecstasy, Xanax, yes. Mushrooms, acid, you know, yeah.
All that.
Basically the drugs everybody was doing at the time.
Yes. You know?
So I experimented with those summer going into freshman year, and pretty much all of freshman year until I got introduced to heroin and meth.
Oh, damn.
So
all this in your freshman year of high school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I went like pretty full tilt.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You grew up in North County, didn't you?
Yeah, Encinitas.
Encinitas, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what like all the kids, you know, in high school, like all the kids were like, you know, ditching school and going on party buses and doing ecstasy and going down the beach and like smoking weed and like, you know, it was like a regular day thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't, you know, I feel like normal kids, like or a different crowd of kids, like just did it on the weekends or, you know?
No. I know like Encinitas kind of has like that, like not as predominant as maybe like OB, but like, you know, Encinitas had like that party culture, yeah, for sure. Because yeah, it's like sure, right by the beach.
Yep. And
there's like always stuff to do.
Yeah.
And you can like, you know, go on a sick one and just like right, do little missions and shit.
Little missions.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up right here, like in Chula Vista. So, I mean, it was a little more, I guess, boring, I guess you could say. But, you know, I mean, you could do the fun hood shit, but like it was just kind of like that's all you could do, really. Like if I ditch school, I'm just gonna kick it at the homies' pad.
Yeah,
we're yep, just gonna be fucking around and shit, mm-hmm, and getting in trouble and all that good stuff. But I love Encinitas though. Like whenever I do a job there, like it's just a cool little town. You know what I mean?
It's beautiful.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So. The first time I smoked heroin, I was with an older dude.
Ooh.
Yep. I was hanging out with him, and I obviously chose to, but we smoked heroin for the first time in the men's bathroom at a Henry's supermarket.
Oh, fuck Costa. Yes.
Yeah. like, you know, the old Henry's, like.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
They're now like Sprouts.
They're Sprouts. Yeah. I was like, yeah, my like, Henry's. Like, God, I haven't heard that one in a while.
And I got so fucking sick, and I threw up everywhere. Yeah, my first time smoking heroin.
Is it the taste? The taste too much?
It was the high.
Oh, it was the high.
It was the high. It was like, you know, I've never felt anything like that before. So
yeah.
I think, I don't know. Like, I think it was just overwhelming. Obviously, the taste is nasty too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like, yeah, you know.
But oh wow. So you fucking I'm made a fucking mess.
Yeah, I'm all trying to be like cute and like cool in front of this like older dude smoking heroin for my first time. Throw up everywhere.
He's just looking at you like, what a hoe.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what a punk. Definitely not doing this again with this chick.
Yeah. So did when he barfed, it made a huge mess and like the
pretty yeah.
So somebody had to clean that shit up.
No, I cleaned it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, come on now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. At least you did that.
I threw up everywhere. You know, I don't, thinking back, like I didn't know like if I liked it, you know. Yeah. I feel like the first time I did it, I didn't like it, and then I chose to do it a second time, and, you know, when I smoked it the second time and, like, kept smoking and I didn't get sick, like, it was on.
Oh.
Yeah. I fell in love.
I see. It was a little built up to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it by the same guy, or was it just you? Were you already finding
it? It was the same guy. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was like, you're fine, don't trip.
Yeah.
Just happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it happens.
Okay. And at this time, pretty much all the older people, like, I started hanging out with, like, were already smoking heroin and speed.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Because I was hanging out. I think I was 14 to 15 around that area. And then, like, they were, like, 18, 19, you know, or, like, 17, 18. So they're older than me.
Yeah.
So I mean, once I started doing that, it was pretty like obvious, especially to my mom, that I was using.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't try to hide it. I feel like I almost was like, you were gone my whole life, I'm gonna get you back, you know? Mm-hmm. Like almost like not rubbing it in her face, but like, you know, this is what you did to me. Like, I'm an addict now. You know, I played the victim a lot. Yeah.
But was she also doing those type of drugs too?
Yeah. So both of my parents are drug addicts. Uh-huh. My mom, they were both into heroin and speed.
Okay.
My dad was more. My mom was more into like meth and stuff, you know?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
She liked the fast life.
Yes, I see.
It's so she's like, I don't have time to get sick, okay? Like, I'm trying to sell some drugs.
I'm not trying to get hold back here.
Yeah, right? I was still living at my grandpa's.
Yeah.
And I started running away from home because I didn't want to be, because I wanted to be around the drugs and I wanted to party. And
yeah.
That went on for about, like, 5 months, I think.
Okay.
And then, like, my mom was finally, like, tired of my shit, basically, and came and found me on the streets. I was running around Leucadia in Leucadia, and she found me and picked me up and took me to a girls' group home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, she won't play no more. No. She's like,
this is not happening. That was my first ever experience in, like, a 12-step program and going to Narcotics Anonymous.
Really?
Meetings, yeah.
So really early on.
Yeah, it's really early. So, and also my first experience having opiate withdrawals.
Oh,
it was the gnarliest thing I've ever experienced.
Yes.
The time, I did, yeah. Oof. Yeah. I'll get into it, you know, but, like, when I got older, I did use, like, methadone, Suboxone.
Okay.
Stuff like that, but, like, my first time kicking, I just did it cold turkey.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, and I remember, like, thinking to myself, like, I'm never fucking doing this shit again.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I think about...
That first kick is, like, the worst, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's super, like, unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what to expect, so you can't prepare for it.
Yeah, no, you know? Yeah. I thought I was going to die. I was like, please just kill me. Yeah. I'd be fine if this is how I die.
Your bones, your skin's crawling, your muscles, you're just dying.
Yeah.
I feel it. So I remember, like, thinking to myself, like, I'm never fucking doing this again. And then I can't really remember, but I think I did about a month in the group home, and I did good, and I stayed in there.
Okay.
And my mom would come, and she would, you know, you couldn't have visitations, so she would throw packs of cigarettes over the gate for me.
Nice.
But, yeah, I stayed in there, and once I got out, I went literally right back to using heroin and meth.
Yeah. Back to business, baby.
Back to business, baby. And this time around, I was using like both every single day, all day long.
Okay.
So I was like picking up, I was getting a habit.
Yeah. Damn, you're 16 years old too.
Yeah.
Shit, dude.
Yeah. I was a little troublemaker. Yeah. I think like a year passed and my mom got a call from my homie's mom who was at a rehab called Cornerstone Recovery. Houston. Have you heard of that in Houston, Texas?
I think I have heard of it.
Yeah. And he, so the kid was telling me to come out there and that they like had fun out there and that he was actually sober and doing good. So I ended up jumping on a plane with my mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went there and I stayed sober for a little over 2 years out there.
Okay.
It was a good experience for me. But it was also really weird. Like when I landed, a car full of like 5 kids came and grabbed me from the airport and like, drove me.
Really?
Yeah, it drove me to my host home.
Oh wow.
So the kids who were in there, their parents like had to be involved too, like addict or not.
Yeah.
So and like sometimes they would volunteer to be hosts for kids in the program.
Uh-huh.
Who like didn't have homes or who were from like out of state. So that was me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone was really nice, but it was extremely strict. Like, I remember, like, an hour into being at the home, I got my phone and my makeup taken away.
Ooh,
and
that's
not
fun.
Yeah, and, like, I get it. Like, you know, you take all the materialistic things away.
Yeah.
So you, like, strip a person bare so they can work on themselves without, like, distractions.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, I do, too. But, like, I was young, so I hated
it. Oh, yeah, you're like,
and I didn't
want to
be
man.
There. Yeah.
My phone back, motherfucker.
I grew to like accept the rules and I did make some friends and
nice.
I stayed there for over 2 years.
Okay.
I finished
2 years?
2 years.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Yeah,
oh.
I was there for
a
long
time.
Oh,
wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stayed there for over 2 years.
So you turned 18 there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Did you get your GED while you're there?
Yeah, I did. I finished my sophomore and my junior year of high school.
Oh, inside.
I was a high school dropout, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
When I moved back, this was probably like 5 years ago, I went to San Marcos Adult Continuation School and I got my GED there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I did finish sophomore and junior year in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, so I finished those 2 years and then decided to go back home.
Okay.
So I went back to California, San Diego, when I was 18. I SO'd, like graduated from outpatient in Texas and like made amends to my mom. She flew out and her and I had to like sit. It was crazy. Her and I had to sit in chairs.
Uh-huh.
Like right in front of each other and hold hands and you couldn't break eye contact.
Oh,
and
God.
I sat there and made all of my amends to her while sitting in the middle of the whole entire outpatient group.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You like, did this in front of people?
Yeah. Like they were sitting in chairs in a circle on the outside, like around us on
the
outside.
What the fuck
is
that, dude?
I was so nervous. I was like shaking. I was so nervous.
Oh my fucking God,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, like, dude, I'm digging up like family trauma here. Like, I don't need an audience
God.
Right now.
What the? I've never heard of no shit
it
like that.
It was nerve-wracking.
Dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Right?
I would be like, fucking peace. I'm out of here, dude. Make me face my mom in front of all you fuckers.
Yeah. And it's like you and you're sweaty and you like you have to hold their hands.
Oh my God,
and you dude. And you know, you can't break eye contact. And then the counselor, like the main counselor that like just like started Cornerstone Recovery, he sits there too with like a couple other counselors.
That's
so he sits
weird.
There and critiques the way you're making amends will literally
God.
Interrupt you to be like, hey, look, you're not being real. Like go back and try it again. Like
what the
it was pretty gnarly.
Oh my God, what the fuck kind of shit is that?
Literally would never do that again.
Oh fuck no.
So I did my 12 steps there, but most of it was just like me scribbling on papers and not really like reading the questions and turning them in. Like, so I wasn't like fully.
You weren't fully invested in 12 steps when you're a teenager.
Yeah, it was more like school to me. Like school and like hanging out with like random new friends. You know what I mean?
So I could totally see that being a teenager. You're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like,
right.
And wow, that's so wild. And you were clean from 16 to 18? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fucking cool, though. I mean, so at least you got to, I guess you could say it was a seed.
Yeah, it was.
It's just.
I definitely, there was definitely a lot of growth there, you know?
Yeah.
The only reason why I don't think it helped me is because I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care to, like, dive deep and, like, you know, and then I feel like I also, like, you know, with, like, using drugs, I feel like, I knew it was miserable and I knew I was suffering, but I just didn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, no. I mean, to treat a 16-year-old man, I wouldn't know what the fuck to say, you know, like, because I work in treatment and, you know, I do know, like, there are, you know, juvenile programs and stuff like that, and because I just go back to where I was 16. I had such a fucking ego, dude. Like, there's no fucking way you can convince me to change.
Yeah.
You know, and that's ultimately what we're trying to do. And it's just like, you know, you could lock me into a fucking rehab as long as you want. You could throw me in jail or juvie. Mm-hmm. I'm still gonna do the same fucking thing.
Right.
The second I get
until I want help for myself.
Exactly.
Which I feel like your brain doesn't fully develop until you're like in your 20s. So
like, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's just, we're just going by facts, you know, like I'm sure there are some juvenile success stories. I'm pretty sure. It's just such a rare, like a unicorn. Like, yeah, I got clean somewhere when I was 16.
Right.
Like, you know, my life is out of control, but I'm dug deep and now I'm gonna, you know, It's like, we want that, of course, and we want that. It's just so rare.
Right.
Okay.
So around this time, I left Texas and I came back home to California. I think I stayed clean for like a couple months and then started using heroin and meth pretty heavily again.
Okay. Yeah.
And this time, you know, my story has a lot of relapses. Like, I'm a chronic relapser, you know?
Yeah.
So this time around using heroin, I had someone shoot me up for the first time.
Ooh.
And then, you know, I learned how to do it myself pretty fast.
Nice.
I started selling heroin.
You're a fast learner.
Yeah. Right. I started selling heroin and like going down to TJ like pretty much every other day to pick up.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's sketchy down there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So what? So you're 20 when this was going on, or?
No, I'm 18? Like 18.
Yeah, you're still 18, 18 going down to TJ.
Yeah.
Would you go by yourself?
No, I would go with like dudes.
I would. I mean, as sketchy.
Like, no, I would go
with dudes. As sketchy as that is. Yeah.
I feel like especially if you're using drugs and like that's the reason why you're going down there.
People will tend to take advantage of that.
Yep. And especially if you're a chick going down there, you know.
Yeah, like a white girl. Like,
yeah, a
down
white girl.
There,
and
like,
then I had my blonde hair. Yeah. I like scream like
a couple guys might take advantage of that. So yeah, okay. So you're going down to TJ doing that whole thing, and was there any moment that you just felt like this was, I'm going too far with this, or are you just rocking and rolling?
No. I mean, you know, like, there were definitely, like, times, you know, like, maybe near-death experiences, and, like, I have a story about that, but, like, I'll get into it later.
Okay.
But, you know, even with something like that, like, I feel like I just did not give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was like, let's go full tilt and I don't care what happens to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, you know, and then also like this time around, like, you know, when I started slamming is when, like, you know, everyone around me, like, started overdosing too.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Sure.
And it was really scary, you know, you'd be like on Facebook or Instagram and like randomly see a post that like someone died.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd call around and get the scoop of what happened, like maybe attend their funeral if they're your friend and like see their family just devastated.
Yeah.
Like, and then go back to whatever you're doing and continue to use that same drug that just
killed
half of your friends.
They killed them.
Yeah.
I can insanity. Relate to that. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so like, you know, I started getting arrested for drug charges and
oh shit.
Yeah, did a couple rounds in jail.
Uh-oh.
I've done PC 1000 and Prop 36. I think like when I was doing Prop 36, I started going to the methadone clinic in Oceanside.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
But I was still like using on top of the methadone and like never really attempted to stop.
That typically happens. That typically happens in the fucking methadone clinic.
Yeah. I think I just used methadone to like increase the high of heroin. That's like for sure what I did. You know?
I need a little boost here.
Yeah, right? Because like fentanyl wasn't around yet. So I'm like, what could like amplify this right now? Oh, methadone.
I could do a little less heroin and just keep upping my methadone dose here, maybe.
Or like the same amount of heroin, just a bunch of methadone.
Wow. How high was your dose?
The highest, so I remember starting off at like, I think if I remember correctly, I think they start you off at like 30, 20 maybe.
Okay.
And then take you to like 50 to 60. But my, the highest dose I was at was 125.
Oof. Yeah. That's a lot.
I was at 125 and one time when I got arrested, I ended up going to jail and I did 6 months for a drug charge and I ended up, having to withdraw because I was on methadone.
Oh, fuck.
It was really bad.
Methadone withdrawals were fucking
brutal.
Ooh,
I thought heroin,
that's the next level.
Yeah.
It's it's a fucking trip, man. I never got hooked on methadone. I tried to get on it, literally like on my last run. I was trying to get on methadone so I can have a clean test for probation.
Right.
So I can stay strung out on methadone and not, and you know, give a couple, give a test and then I'll go back to heroin. But I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even fucking, and my mind was so set on heroin and shooting up. And I was like, like, fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah. I understand that.
So, yeah. So I never had the addiction with methadone, but I've seen plenty of people, you know, like, it's sad, man. They're stuck on it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to talk down and whatever. You need methadone to kick fentanyl and heroin. Obviously, take it. But like, it's just sad when people get strung out on it.
It is. Yeah, like, it is really sad. I know a couple people that are strung out on it.
Like 100%. Like they're 100% dependent on it. And, you know, they're on high doses, like 100 or I think I've ever heard. I've heard of someone be on 200.
Yeah.
Which would probably kill anybody.
Right?
Yo,
damn.
Yeah. It's gnarly.
I feel like when I was on methadone, I, like, there are times, and this could be, like, the placebo effect or, like, you know, just my addict brain.
Oh, I like that placebo being like, effect.
Yeah, right? Being like, you need more. But I feel like, you know, I feel like when I was on, like, 80 milligrams and, like, you know, maybe like a couple weeks later, like my brain would be like, oh, you need more because you're kind of getting sick. You know how it works like that?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I do.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, that's a big reason of why people go up so high.
Yeah. It's just
maybe not the reason, but like maybe.
Yeah. Like it's just not enough. It's just, you're trying to fill this void and it's not enough. You just need more and more. Right. And I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So you're in the methadone clinic. You get into that whole thing.
So I was dating this guy who, you know, we were using together. It was the same guy that taught me how to shoot up.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
What a gentleman.
What a scholar.
What a scholar.
We love him. So I'm like crying. He taught me how to do that, and then, but like, meanwhile, while we're using heroin, he was on methadone.
Okay.
So, and I kept telling him, I was like, I want to get off heroin, I want to get off heroin, you know? So he like kind of referred that, and he's like, get on methadone, like it'll, you know, you'll probably stop using it. Helps a lot of people. So I was like, okay. And then I got on it and just kept using it. So I'd never figure out if it helps people or not. Just kept using.
So great. I'm on two drugs now. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Fuck. Damn it.
How long were you on it for?
I was on it for like almost a year and a half, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Up until like, you know, probably like, I don't know, 19 maybe.
Okay.
Like around that time, you know, 19 or like, I don't know, somewhere around there, 19 or 20.
Gotcha.
So yeah. So like around the, methadone time, I also, that's when I started getting like really into popping Xanax bars.
Ooh.
Yeah. And, so I was like doing, I was doing heroin, I was doing methadone, and I was popping Xanax. I'm surprised that I'm alive. like that just registered in my brain. Like, that's so crazy to think, like, add like fentanyl and speed on top of it. Like, how do I not have like a leg missing or something?
You know what I mean? Right,
like,
right,
that's crazy.
I know, I fucking get that.
God.
your body fucking took the abuse and was able to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I did get really sick when I was on fentanyl, but I'll talk about that in a little.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, you know, started popping Xanax bars, and I had a friend who had them.
Yeah.
So and he went to a dirty doctor up north to get them.
Okay, gotcha.
So I started going to the doctor, and I got prescribed them, and I think I got like 60 of them my first prescription, and just started popping them like candy.
Ooh,
you know,
that's fucking crazy.
So I started going to this doctor, and I got prescribed them, and I got like 60 of them, and my first prescription, I was just popping them like candy.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, I was hooked on them, and like, although I did stop eating them like all day, like candy, I was still taking like 2 bars a day, and so I would take one like first thing in the morning, when I woke up, and then my shot of heroin, and then the bong hit a speed, and that was like my daily ritual.
Oh, the bong hit a speed. The what do you call it?
The quag.
The quag.
The quag hit a speed.
Oh
yep.
Shit. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So like after a couple years of doing that, I decided to like get sober again, you know? So and I mean, by obviously, but this time, and I've already said this, but you can tell I was a chronic relapser. It's like always like me using and then me trying to get sober but not having the right tools, you know? So I always relapse, and So you know, I never put my all into fixing any issues I had, like, nor did I think I needed help in that type of way.
Yeah.
I always thought that drugs were my main problem, you know, and that if I got off them and,
everything works out.
Yeah, like, did a MAT program or something, like, stayed on, like, Suboxone or whatever, like, I'd be fine, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, there was always, like, underlying issues, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whether it was, like, abandonment issues, issues with my parents, not feeling like I'm good enough, self-destructive patterns, what else? Like, self-image problems, like, you name it. Like, you know, I had all of it. Mm-hmm. I still sometimes, you know, feel that
way. Of course, yeah.
So I did get clean off hard drugs, and I got on Suboxone, and after, I think, like a 3-month period, I was at 24 milligrams.
Okay.
So, which kind of was a lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's like 3 of those strips, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
So, yeah. And I was dating a good guy at the time. He didn't do drugs.
Uh-huh.
He used to when he was a kid, and then went to prison and got out and like was on the straight path, you know?
Okay, got you.
So I was dating a good guy. I had stayed clean off hard drugs for about 2 years.
Okay.
I feel like everything was like 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. Like 2 years, I'll try to do good. Yeah. But after that, fuck it.
You had a pattern.
Yeah. But like,
duly
you know,
noted.
Right. But in that 2 years, like I was still smoking weed and drinking.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
And taking my Xanax prescription. So, you know,
the dirty prescription, right?
Right. The dirty doctor prescription. The dirty doctor.
Dr. Feel Good.
Dr. Feel Good, yes. I love that.
Fuck yeah.
So I like, you know, in like, so I dated him for 2 years, did the dance for 2 years. Like obviously still smoked weed and drank and took my Xanax. But I remember something I did. It was New Year's and I was with him and we were like went down to the beach or whatever. And we were making like New Year's resolutions, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I had made it, you know, I made it one of my New Year's resolutions to get off subs because I just didn't want to be on them anymore. And they were like making me super tired throughout the day. And I felt I feel like that kind of, that drug kind of like sucks your energy, you know?
Oh yeah. They have massive side effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's not like a regular, you're regularly living. You're doing maintenance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like zombie.
Yeah. Kind of like that. No, for sure.
So yeah, so I made that my New Year's resolution. Uh-huh. I got off subs all by myself.
Wow.
No doctor, counseling.
Wow.
Counselor like monitoring me.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that's good. Hard. I did good, and then I relapsed. So, like, right after. Yeah. Job, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, but then for sure. They rub it in your face too, like you know, like oh you can't get off this, you'll relapse and whatever.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so like around this time, like when I first got introduced, so when I relapsed, this is the time I got introduced to fentanyl.
Ooh.
This is like the big daddy.
Big daddy coming.
It was such a trip because like, you know, I relapsed and like went to an old homegirl. You know, and like I remember I was looking for heroin and it was just gone, you know.
That definitely
like,
happened.
Yeah, like everyone started using fentanyl and there was only
was
like,
this like around COVID time?
It was after COVID.
After COVID. Okay.
Like everyone, you know, started using fentanyl and there was only like two people who could get heroin. And they're like far away, you know? So I'm like, fuck.
only two. Yeah. I fucking believe it.
I don't really remember smoking fentanyl for the first time, like, if I liked it or not, because I remember smoking it and, like, instantly falling asleep for, like, 2 hours. I mean, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like,
you couldn't even enjoy it like you would with a shot of heroin.
Right. But, you know, after a couple days of smoking it, I did get hooked on it, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that drug is a fucking demon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of them are, but that... You know, you, like, if you ever want to see, like, a walking zombie with nothing good going for them and, like, emotionless and just, you know, give them hair, like, fentanyl, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so bad and, you know, I've never experienced my life crashing down on me so bad like that. You know, I feel like when I was using heroin, I was able to, like, maintain a job and, like, you know, like, stuff like that.
Yeah. With that, you're just... You're not,
yeah, my
there's
hygiene,
no life.
My job, my car payments, you know, like I was a little shady fuck and I would like lie, cheat and steal and, you know, rob. But like this drug, like I lost literally everything I worked so hard to have.
Yeah.
You know,
this sucks the life out of you.
Yeah, it really does. It's a trip. Yeah. And it happened. It happened so fast, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But. You know, within like the first month of using, I lost my apartment. I worked like so hard to have. Mm. I lost my car. I lost my job. My family wouldn't really talk to me. I mean, like they were there to support me, but they're like kind of, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And my family is the most important thing to me, you know, like above friends, above anything else. Like my family's right up there. You know, I was living at a hotel rooms and trap houses my first week of using fentanyl.
Jesus. Yeah. So it was right to it.
So, yeah, I was just, like hooked, you know. So I started dating this guy who was selling at the time, too. So, like, you know, I always had supply around me, you know, and, like...
What a gentleman.
Yeah, such a gentleman. so, like, I never got sick, and I feel like because of that, I developed, like, a really bad, like, nasty habit.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think when I was hooked on fentanyl, that was my longest run. I was also on fentanyl for 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like this is okay.
It's a now, pattern. It's definitely a pattern.
Yeah. I haven't really like dug through my life like this yet. So I'm like, oh, two years. You know?
I'm definitely keeping an eye on you when it's a 2 year mark.
Yeah. Whatever. No, please do. I don't know. But like, I've never really like gotten into recovery and like worked on myself like this.
Yeah.
You know, I've never sat across the table from someone and shared my story.
Yeah.
You know, I've never worked the 12 steps like this. So, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, you know. I my health was starting to deteriorate. Like, I had to go to the hospital because I don't know if it was like numbing my insides, like my organs or whatever, but they were shutting down.
Oh, like, I bet it was.
I couldn't feel my bladder. So like I'd be doing something random, like driving somewhere or shopping or being at like a drug friend's house, and I would literally piss my pants.
Oh fuck.
Like I would just piss my pants. It is kind of funny now, but like I was so embarrassed and just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, this has already happened twice already today.
Like, Jesus Christ. Were you wearing a diaper?
No diaper.
Did you go to the hospital?
I did go to the hospital. Yeah, I started getting abscesses on my legs.
Okay.
I had to go to the hospital for those. So, you know, while I was there, I got that checked out.
Yeah.
But like before, you know, when I didn't have the abscesses and I was just like, fuck, this sucks. But like, I'm not going to do anything about it because I don't care about my health right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so nasty. It's just not a good way to
live. That's fine. I'll piss off myself here and there.
Yeah, but right? But if I get an abscess, like, I'm going. It's just weird how your brain works.
Right.
But yeah, I started getting them on my legs. I went to the hospital, you know, because, like, the drug lifestyle is so dirty and your hygiene is pretty much, like, non-existent.
No, it's in the back burner.
Yeah, right? So, like, you know, I have these wounds on my legs and, you know, it was the very first one I got, ended up turning into MRSA.
And it
started eating my flesh from the outside in. And it took probably over, like, a month to heal.
Oh, Jesus.
And, like, I'll show you after.
Okay,
the scar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad, you know. Towards the end of my fentanyl use, I was homeless running around downtown San Diego.
Yeah.
I lived in this house down there that got shot up one night.
Uh-huh.
And like literally sprayed with bullets because I think some people had like beef with the dude.
Maybe.
I don't know. He was like this older gay dude and he would have like all these crazy sex parties, like weird shit, like always playing porn on his TVs.
Oh yeah.
And he would have like three TVs in his bedroom. Like just weirdo shit.
Fantastic like, gentleman.
Why am I here? You know? But like, I remember like, cause I was living there with my, like another ex at the time.
Uh-huh.
I would see like all these like younger, almost like younger boys, like,
yeah,
I don't know, 19, 20, I feel like,
yeah,
like a couple of them at least.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, this dude's sick as fuck.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to stay here because I can get high here. You know what I mean? Like, that's my brain works.
That's a relatable thing. I mean, I'm for sure like, oh, this is totally
sketchy.
I'm all do sketchy.
You. I'm not looking.
Yeah. Look this way.
Yeah.
Look at my corner right here. Oh my God.
But yeah, it was such a crazy, it was just a crazy experience. And I bring that up because like looking back, like what we were talking about earlier
yeah.
about like the near death experiences and just not caring.
And
like,
not giving a shit.
Yeah. Like I'm like, damn, I put myself through so many near death experiences. And like during those times, like I didn't care to get out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oh, well, that's life type situation.
Yeah. I'll come hang out here at this weird gay guy's fucking house and we'll get sprayed up by bullets.
Yeah, and like, you know, somebody shoots up the house and you're, I was just like standing there, you know? like, not even, like, you know, I feel like.
Just hitting it still. Like,
yeah, Yeah, straight up. I feel like a normal person would be like, oh, I'm calling the cops, or I'm going to run and hide, or like, what the fuck's going on? I'm just standing there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's the norm.
Yeah. Fucking psycho, dude. But yeah, so that's kind of like, you know, and sorry if like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
I feel like, you know, I can't, it's weird. I feel like there's a lot of blockage in my memory and like I can't really.
Oh, no, you're good. You got plenty of.
Okay, cool.
You got plenty going on in there.
Is that supposed to mean something?
Take it as you like. Shit.
So yeah, I think like, okay, this I'll say like, yeah, after, okay, so after the 2 years of using fentanyl, one day I hit it with my mom and I asked her to help me detox.
Okay. Right?
And she said she would help me. I ended up going back to her house and it took me like a month and a week to withdraw from fentanyl. And it's the most, it was the most painful experience ever. I thought methadone was bad until I detoxed off.
Now we're after the next level here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. I feel like it's like the best way I can describe it is like kicking heroin, methadone, like, and Suboxone together.
Ooh, yeah.
And like some people are like, oh yeah, I kicked fentanyl, but I kicked it for like a week or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What? It's crazy. It took me a month and a week.
Oh, yeah. My buddy, before he got locked up, I think this was, God, because he's been in and out of my life. But I think it was like the second to last time he was telling me that he had a really high fentanyl use tolerance and all that.
Yeah.
And he told me it was the fucking worst. Like, he literally was like, I thought that was it. I thought, you know, he was sweating profusely. Like, he needed medical attention. And
yeah.
Like, it was gnarly, dude.
Yeah, I feel that. My my mom detoxed me, and she, like, I wish she could tell stories, but, like, I low-key don't want her to tell stories. But,
right.
No, like, I, fuck. She called, like, you know those mobile IV clinics that like drive to you and give you like an IV of fluids and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know
so
that.
So she called them twice and had them come give me an IV of fluids because my lips were so chapped.
Oh,
I couldn't drink water. It was so weird. Like, just, I mean, I feel like I sound like a pussy right now, whatever. Like, I couldn't, good. I just couldn't drink water. And like, the only thing I would do is like eat a Jolly Rancher or something. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted sugar and I couldn't eat food and like,
yeah.
I remember laying there and I was like, fuck, dude, like, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know? I want it, and but this sucks, you know? And I feel like, you know, and I also pissed the bed, like, twice. Yeah. I did.
That problem was still going on?
That problem was still going on, and, but, like, because I couldn't really, I mean, any other person would be like, yeah, I was able to get up and use the bathroom. And I'm like, no, I was too sick. So I laid in bed and just pissed the bed.
Yeah. You gotta go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I should be embarrassed about this, but it's not. I'm not, you know, it's part of being a drug addict, you know?
That is true. You're not an addict if you haven't pissed on yourself at least once.
Exactly. And I'm sure people have done grosser shit, you know?
I'm sure.
I know I have.
Fuck yeah.
So, yeah. So, I stayed at my mom's for about 3 months.
Okay.
After that, I'm detoxed, you know? I'm still on Xanax, though.
Okay.
You know? Still on Xanax. I got on Suboxone again.
Okay.
But I did have 3 months clean.
Okay.
And my mom helped me find the Dollface Club Sober Living.
Oh, wow. Yay.
In which I'm still currently living at.
Nice.
But, yeah, I love it there.
That's awesome.
I went into the DFC house still on my prescription Xanax bars.
Yeah.
But I was sober from everything else.
Okay.
I think for me, Xanax was like my very last crutch. And I also, I also think throughout time, I started to kind of believe like I actually needed them. And I was like, I was really reluctant to get off them.
That's a really hard drug to get off.
It is. It is. I was, you know, and I'm off them now, and I'll tell you about that in a little. But like,
okay.
You know, I I had Clea, you know. Can I say her name on here?
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. The Dollface Club manager at the, so you know, the sober living owner telling me, like, I needed to start winning off of them.
Okay.
And I told her I would, but I never did, and I ended up relapsing. You know? So I went back out because my, you know, I had issues with my dude and he went back to prison.
Okay.
You know, my ex. And I, you know, I didn't know how to deal with that. So I relapsed on speed and heroin.
Ooh.
After 7 months clean.
Damn. That's a cocktail right there.
Yeah. And I had stopped taking my subs because, like, you know, what heroin addict is going to go relapse on heroin and stay on Suboxone, you know?
Yeah, right.
So did that, and then I think it was like my fourth day, I overdosed on heroin that had fentanyl in it.
Oh, fuck, dude.
So, yeah, it was really scary.
All this was going on when you're at Sober Living?
So, no, so I ended up, I was at the Sober Living, and I relapsed, and I just left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to go, do my thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On a mission.
On a mission. Here we go. No, but that was scary, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, you know, when I was using heroin and stuff, like, you know, I did have, like, a couple times where I overdosed because I did too much. But,
yeah,
you know, your chances of coming back from an overdose on heroin are, like, way greater than fentanyl.
Yes,
you know
that I can agree with.
Yeah, people OD on fentanyl and don't come back, you know.
Yeah,
even if they're, you know, administered Narcan,
it literally fucking kills you so fucking fast, dude.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the person I was with gave me Narcan.
Yeah.
He administered Narcan in my nose.
Yeah.
The nostril that, like, he administered in it, because I was dope sick, and I went over to his house,
because
I tried to stop one night, and I went to my grandpa's, right?
Yeah.
And then that next morning, I went back to his house, because I was like, fuck this, like, I'm putting myself through this again, like, I'm just giving up, right?
Yeah.
So I went, and I took a bong hit of some heroin that had fentanyl on it.
Okay.
So he administered it, and I was dope sick, so my nose was clogged.
Oh.
You know, I was, like, sniffling and I was sick, right? Yeah. So I'm lucky that it even registered, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, went through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trip. It's
Oof, scary. Jesus.
Yeah.
I was always thinking about that, too. Like, what if you had, like, a clogged nose, like, and you're trying to spray that shit? Like, would it work? Or maybe just wouldn't have enough effect and just keep doing it?
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is when I started hanging out with this guy, like, I didn't use it first, but eventually I did with him.
Yeah.
But I initially gave him that Narcan.
Yes.
Because I knew he had, like, two different batches, whatever, I won't get into it. But,
sure,
like, he had a batch of heroin and a batch of heroin with fentanyl in it.
Yes.
And I knew he was fucking it on fentanyl.
Yes.
So I gave him initially the Narcan.
Yes.
And he ended up using it on me.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow. So, like, I mean,
full
it's just
circle.
Like, it's just like, what the fuck? Obviously, God was having my fucking back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he did.
Like, clogged nose, you know, the only one I gave him, just one. You know, usually you have to do two.
Most of the time, two.
Yeah.
I had used two on one person because one wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that happened. You know, it was scary because, like, I just experienced how beautiful life was in that 7 months clean.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you know, for the first time in my life, you know, so, you know, I made unbreakable friendships. You know, I started finding my tribe.
Nice.
You know, working my steps.
Ah, yes. That's,
you know,
good.
Yeah. And, like, to think that I could have died is scary. And also, or that I did and came back is scary.
Yeah.
But, you know,
absolutely.
It also makes me sad to think of, like, doing that to my family, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The owner of Dollface Club gave me a chance to come back to sober living.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did have to go to detox to get off the Xanax.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which... You know, I feel like, looking back, you know, I was really embarrassed of my relapse. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just had 7 months and I was doing good, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I can see that.
Coming back was a little like, you know, intimidating for me, but you know, I feel like it was supposed to happen in order for me to get off the Xanax, because I was so reluctant to get off of them, and I seriously thought I couldn't live life without them, pills, you know, pills.
Yeah.
Because you know, it makes your brain, you know, it tells your brain like everything's okay, so you don't have like anxiety that often, mm-hmm. social anxiety, which I struggle with a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest things for me out of like everything I've ever done, you know, was get off Xanax.
Yeah.
You know, and it did give me like really bad social anxiety, you know, like being around people when I first got off Xanax.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to have a conversation, and everything freaked me out to the point where I was like, I wanted to isolate, you know?
Yeah.
Like going to NA meetings, I would like have to get up at least twice during the meeting because I was literally like trembling in my chair and like shaking and sweating and like looking down at the floor and like couldn't look people in the eyes.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I still get anxiety like that, but it's not nearly as bad. It's mainly when I get introduced to new people.
Okay, gotcha.
It's like a new face, you know? It's
whoa, this is new information. Yeah, you need to process.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like it's like fear of being, you know, of judgment too.
Sure.
So I went to detox for a month.
Wow, a whole month?
A whole month, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, I went to San Diego Detox.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that spot.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, getting off Xanax was pretty gnarly too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think it's worse than a dope kick.
Now sure. We're at level 4.
Yeah, yeah. We're at, like, big daddy over here.
Yeah, dude. No, because, look, Xanax is the only fucking drug. Benzodiazepine, whatever the fuck it's called, mm-hmm. is the only drug that can kill you. Like, or alcohol. Alcohol and that drug are the only two drugs that
you withdraw. It turns your brain to mush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're dead. Like, if you don't get proper medical, you know, supervision and all that, yeah, you can die.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
even with heroin, that shit won't do that. You would want to die, but
right, but not. You won't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought, you know, when I was detoxing, I got really bad nosebleeds, like out of the blue. You know, I never get them, and I got them like, you know, almost every other day for the first like 2 weeks.
Wow,
yeah, oof. That's how fucked my brain was. Oof. Yeah,
damn.
You know, I couldn't be around people, you know. I had like all the symptoms like a dope kick would be, you know, like I was sweaty, shaky, trembling, my pupils were huge, you know, like I was yawning, my heart rate was racing really fast.
I do
fast.
That sometimes too.
Yeah, I'm a huge yawner. Like, I'm tired of it.
I feel so bad when I'm at a meeting. I'm just like, oh shit. I'm sorry, you're not boring.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so it was a good experience. I obviously hated it at the time, but
yeah.
I'm cured. I'm doing good. You know,
nice. That's good. Know. So you got out of detox and then you went right back to the Dolphins Club sober living.
I did. Yeah. I got out of detox. Went, you know, did a month, and then I only relapsed for like 2 weeks. So okay. I relapsed on Christmas Day in December.
Oh, no shit.
Spent all of January in detox and then came back like, I think February 1st or sometime early February.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I didn't notice you were gone that
time. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well, it was during the holidays and stuff, okay? But, you know. Because when I remember meeting Sydney right when Clea just opened up the sober living and stuff, and she has like this really platinum blonde hair. You could not miss her. Yep.
It was like white, I feel like.
Almost white, yeah. Yeah, no,
that
yeah,
was like
yeah.
my trademark.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of had like the blondie like kind of look, you know, like Deborah Harry. Like it was like this girl.
Yeah.
And you know,
the group.
And you know, and obviously, you know, you had a slip up and stuff, and when it seems like right when you came back there, man, it seemed like you were just full force trying to do the recovery thing, and like you're taking it really, really, really seriously.
Yeah, I am. You know, I feel like growing up and like going through life and going through the things I did, like, you know, I was a smart girl and I was a hard lover and very empathetic person. And I think I got let down a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I got abandoned and, like, you know, I didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I've never had the correct tools in life to go through grief or pain or sadness or depression, anxiety, like traumatic events, you know. Yeah. I've always had to numb those experiences out with drugs because it was the only way I knew how to be normal, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I did this drug dance for so long, and as a chronic relapser, I always have to constantly be working on myself and staying busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I would get clean because I didn't want to be sick and tired and hungry and miserable and lonely, but yeah. Like I never actually did the work to stay sober.
Yeah.
You know, go to meetings, find a sponsor at that meeting.
Yeah.
Find your support group, find your tribe.
Yeah.
You know, I have my tribe today, which is awesome. They're like my family. You know, do your steps, work your steps.
Yeah.
Go through the guidebook with your sponsor, you know.
Yeah.
Keep going to meetings, like attend social functions and, you know, find your God, you know. That was really, really hard. I said that earlier, but that was really hard for me to find.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a struggle for me as well.
Yeah. I feel it, yeah. But, yeah, came back to sober living, and, you know, I've been clean and sober ever since. I'm very grateful, and you know, no fronts, but I'm never going back. And this is, you know, this is, you know, to any, like, newcomer or to the person who is, like, still struggling with addiction, like, you can do this. And
yeah.
I promise this will get better. You just have to, you know... You just have to want a better life for yourself, and you have to have the courage to, like, eat some humble pie and, like, you know, ask for help, you know?
Humble pie.
It starts with asking for help.
It does.
Well, it starts for, like, you know, it starts with, like, recognizing you have a problem, you know, admitting it, but, like,
gotta
ask for help, you know? That was, like, one of my main issues.
Reach out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said before, I really appreciate, you know, your support and my brand, and I really look forward to, you know, seeing you grow. You know what I mean? I see it in you. You have that spark. You know what I mean? You have
Thank
that spark.
You.
Just, and I, you know, I know you can, you know, get a couple years and then eventually even grow farther than that. You know what I mean? And I definitely think that a lot of women could, and, you know, struggling could relate to your story. And I think that, you know what I mean? Seeing you grow and seeing you progress in life will really help out somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah.
And, you know, I wish you the best of luck. And I'm looking forward to doing some Fuck Fentanyl photo shoots with you, too.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living.